Morning. Let's turn to Psalm 37, continue in our study of Psalm 37. Today we'll look at verse 23. Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. David continues in Psalm 37 to show how the faithful are over and over again divinely blessed. Indeed, we know that the footsteps of the righteous are directed by God, and it's God who delights and blesses their path. So just three considerations from this short verse this morning. First, we must remember that the steps of the godly are ordered by the grace of God. We don't follow in our own strength to do what is just and right. But we can only live righteously when the Spirit of God directs us. Talked a little bit about that this morning in our family Bible study. We can only be holy, be righteous, because of the Spirit of God within us. The Puritans said it this way. They said, by his grace and Holy Spirit, God directs the thoughts, affections, and designs of good men. Amen? Amen. Faith, by faith, God directs your steps. A renewed mind in Christ, affections upon things above, a life that's tailored and set up around godliness, because the righteous man loves God more than anything else. Secondly, God pours out his favor, and he approves of what is his. What's his, what he owns. So the question for us is, do you let God own you and everything in your life? Is he your king? Is he your master? Is he the ruler of your life? It's so important to remember God and who we are in Christ. If we forget who we are, what happens? We become very vulnerable to attack, very susceptible to Satan's lies. We're often exposed to fear and confusion. Faith in God is a confidence that he's your king, that he rules your life. And so find joy in that. Find rest in that. We had the National Day of Prayer just a few days ago on Thursday down here in Elizabeth. It was wonderful. Pastor John Smith, I like what he said. He said, we tend to think of salvation as making a commitment. And you might have heard that, I don't know, on a radio or somewhere. Make a commitment for Christ. You know, you heard that? But the problem is we commit to all kinds of things. You know, I commit to change the oil in my car, you know, when I buy it. But the other problem is, do we have any power in ourselves to save ourselves, to commit to saving ourselves? No, of course not. A life given to Christ is not a commitment to salvation we make. It's faith in God that's a confession. A confession, it's a God-ordained surrender, a complete dying to ourselves, because we're not our own anymore, we're God's. So we must live in that way. The word of God for his people is clear. If you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. Just like Christ said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands and walk in my ways and be mine. We often forget that we were bought with a price. We were purchased. We're not our own. But it's clear the redeemed of God are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Beloved of God, you are Christ's. Rest in that. Just like the old hymn says, I praise the God of grace. I trust his truth and might. He calls me his. I call him mine. My God, my joy, my light. Thirdly, this life you live, this path of a good man, the steps of a good man, our text says today, your life might not look all that shiny and glamorous to the world, and that's okay. Because you know your path, the path of your life, is directed by God. It's the life that God delights in. In fact, we know that God takes the nobodies of the world to display his glory, doesn't he? So be okay with being a nobody in the world's eyes, right? And be everything you are in Christ. Remember, for God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. That's us. From nothing to everything in Christ. How does this happen? Does God take a nobody? He takes somebody unknown, no heritage, no lineage, no wealth, nothing, and makes them a son or daughter of the King of Kings. We're Mephibosheth at the king's table with an inheritance so big you can't even measure it. It's because the righteous know who they are. They're not their own. They're humble, completely dependent upon God. As Psalm 123 says, you might remember, it says, "Behold, as the eyes of the servant look to the hand of their master, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us." Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. That's the path of righteousness. There's nothing to see here. All I am and all I have is Christ. Walking in the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, holding fast our confession, clinging to the promises, remembering who we are. This is the path in life that God delights in, and he blesses this path. Now, the world might not approve of your path, and that's okay, as we said, because you know the path. You know it's grounded on the rock of Christ, steadfast in him. Yes, it's difficult and narrow is this path, but it's the path of life. For your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In all my ways I acknowledge him, and he will make my path straight. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. So brothers and sisters, may we keep our eyes fixed upon Christ, humbly knowing it's only by his shed blood that we live, that we may live it for him and remain in our Savior's gentle and lowly presence, walking in his way. So know your God, dwell with him, feed on his faithfulness, delight in him, find rest in him, walk with him in faith. And in your weakness, remember, that's when you're strong, because that's when Christ shines the brightest in your life. Your steps are ordered by the Lord, and he delights and blesses this path. Let me just end with one final exhortation. Very practical, very tangible. Do you want to know your God more? Do you want these things you know only God can give you? Right? Peace, joy, rest, hope. Just two encouragements. One, pray to God. And you say, well, I do pray. Well, pray more. Commune with God. Do what Christ said. Go to your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. Do that a lot. And secondly, study the word. Don't just read it. Study it. Slow down. Know the heart of your God. Know him, for your steps are ordained by him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have brought all things by your sovereignty, by your hand, by your perfect will. And God, we declare and we remember that we do not follow in our own strength to do what is just and right. We can only live righteously when the Spirit of God directs us. Oh, so Lord, may we die to our own self-control of our life for our direction, for our guidance, but to in return to you. We confess, God, that we have taken a hold of the reins too much. But Father, we want our steps to be ordered by you and for you to bless this path. We take a moment now to individually confess our sins to you.